With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
They've got all of the qualities that we've already mentioned mm-hmm. over the course of the last few days. And they also have a secret weapon, which is a bald head.
Yes, Italy Lombardo. Although they call him like the bald eagle still. He was the bald eagle when he had the hair at the sides of the head. I don't think it counts anymore. I mean, bald eagles aren't even bald. What's going on? Yeah. Not having it.
He could be the boiled egg.
Exactly. He could be the boiled egg or the bald egg.
I think the word bald, or it comes
white,
from something meaning
yeah.
white. Yeah, yeah. So it's so, not actually that bald eagles were bald long ago and now they're not.
Went to Turkey and got a cheap hair replacement.
Had to wear a bandana, yeah, to conceal the scars. Yeah, the idea is that just like Laurent Blanc used to kiss Fabian Barthez's head before games to bring good luck, Italy are doing the same with Mancini's assistant.
Is that compliant? Is that compliant?
COVID compliant.
Is that COVID compliant? Italy had trouble.
If you kiss him in an enclosed room for 20 minutes,
really
you
have
to quarantine.
Really smooch it.
Yeah, but
really handcuff it.
Really go
for it.
You can't snog a head though, can you?
You can't really snog it.
I don't see how you do
bit
that.
Bit of ASMR for people.
Yeah.
Kissing a bald head. gross.
Lombardo's head seems to have been abused quite a lot over history, doesn't it?
He must be the most kissed, I guess Barthez's or his head must be the most kissed head around, I suppose.
So I wouldn't want to speculate. But Ruud Gullit played the bongos on his head while half naked once.
Sorry, what?
It was in Madeira goal in the 90s.
Is it like the credits to a TV show?
Mm.
Right. And he was just bashing away on his head.
Yeah. Although pounding away. You think of that as being two. You'd need two,
wouldn't you?
You'd need two eggs, wouldn't you?
Yeah, Lombardo.
This is the drumsman.
Yeah.
Could you get a rhythm out of Attilio Lombardo's head?
I can play.
It's a lot of thumb, innit?
I can play the Match of the Day theme tune on my own head.
Go on.
Go on then.
I'm not going to
come on.
Come on. Patreon exclusive, though. I'll show you outside. But
all right.
I've got. Oh yeah.
It can be done.
Let's
take this outside, Fish. Do we want to say anything serious about this game?
Yeah, I do. I think this is like. It feels like what Italy have done in the group stages, and what most teams have done in the group stages, has been a bit off Broadway. And I think now you're seeing like everyone's, you know, having these rave reviews about things you've got to see, Italy being one of them. And now you've got the chance to see what they're actually about. Mm. And I think Austria is quite an interesting team against them because they're really well organised.
Yeah.
Even little things in the way that, like, there was obviously, it's a constant conversation with David Alaba about, like, should he play inside? Should he play in midfield than out wide? And Austria have found a way where they can solidify what they have inside while having him out left, where he's still also dictating play. I don't know how you do that because my football brain is very small, but it's really quite impressive. He doesn't start Locatelli, and in hindsight, maybe that was a little bit of a mistake, but obviously trust Barella enough to come in and do that job. Pessina comes on and gets the second, and it really does feel like...
And celebrated like a dead fish, which I enjoyed.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, that smoke of like, I don't have the energy to slide on my front anymore.
Yeah.
I was thinking he's got grass burn on his face now.
Yeah.
You know, that would have hurt, I think.
Wembley's quite slick though, isn't it?
You reckon?
So at the worst, you're getting a bit exfoliated, aren't you?
Yeah. I'm always astonished by how far footballers can slide, be that on their knees or their bellies or anything.
I've tried it on confetti on a wooden floor and I fully grazed my knees.
They're wedding?
Quite different surfaces though, aren't they?
New Year's Eve party. Just, I went for it. I actually screamed, knock out, and slid on both knees and then was like, shit, I'm bleeding.
Bleeding all over the confetti. Bleeding. That must have looked absolutely horrific.
Yes, it is.
So a bit of murder in here.
2 years ago. Still got the scars. No, I don't really.
What was the song playing?
I don't remember. I was too pissed.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, God.
Imagine. So was it BT Sport Christmas party or New Year's Eve party?
No, it was my New Year's Eve party.
Oh, in your flat?
Yeah.
Imagine the scene the next morning.
Yeah.
Just blood.
And blood
confetti.
And mushed up confetti all over the place. And then, of course, with Schick up front, real quality there to put the ball in the net. His fourth goal of the championship so far. And they were excellent. But the Dutch, though... I mean, attack is really the only thing they did. We saw them in the group stages, sort of a bit of a swashbuckling start, and they entertained.
Yeah.
They were decent. With this, though, as soon as something went wrong, it was bad.
Mm. Yeah.
But that's the thing. You can lose a game heroically with 10 men. As you know, we've seen our very own England do that on occasion. But to crumble the way they did, it's quite damning.
I was on Van Aanholt's transfer market. He looks like he's played about 40 games this season, but he clearly hasn't. He's only played like 20 for Palace, but he won't be playing anymore because he's gone.
My expectation of the Dutch was that they would lose in an entertaining way where they just, their defence sort of fell apart and they just, someone pumped them for goals. And I suppose you could argue that that happened, but I didn't expect it to be quite as self-destructive and also quite as meek.
Yeah,
I suppose that's the thing with tournament football, isn't it? Your expectations count for nothing, essentially.
But I think that's what Chilhavi's done with the Czechs there, is that they've come through a tough group. And I think, as you know, Luke made the point, actually, England's group was tougher than people might think. You know, Croatia's still a handy side. They're obviously playing Spain later. It'll be interesting to see what happens there. Mm. The Czechs themselves are good. People saying this side can go further than actually people might give them credit for. So, I mean, against the Dutch, like I say, I know what you mean with the Dutch, you know, the way they played. Again, the way the group kind of pans out, they're thinking to themselves, we could have a run at this. Because, you know, Czech Republic, they would think, well, we're the superior side here. They were the favourites, of course they were. But Chilhavi and the Czechs, they didn't seem to be afraid of anybody.
No.
And nor should they be. And the way they, we often hear the term, especially in this tournament, game management. Seems to be the one of the buzz phrases of this Euros. Is that it was a case of, they're going to come at us. Let's just batten down the hatches and weather the storm. And the mistakes, the cracks will appear at some point.
Mm.
And they probably would have done. I mean, they didn't realise it was going to be such a spectacular one with the sending off, of course. But the fact of the matter is, after nearly conceding, goalkeeper makes a great save, to then have De Ligt on the turn, which he's not that great at, getting his feet in a bit of a mess. And Neville said himself, you never slip. You get yourself into a bit of a panicky situation, and then you react as such, and that seemed to be the case.
Absolutely. Gary Neville did also say that every goalkeeper should save every shot, though, didn't he?
So, when did he say that?
I forget exactly when it was, but it was on Sky. It was mad. So give De Ligt a little bit of bit of sympathy as well there.
I think they were just confused by the fact that the Czech Republic are playing a number nine at right back. They're just like, oh, I don't know what's going on.
I did enjoy Kufal tripping over the ball as well.
Uh-huh.
It's surprising that that doesn't happen more. really.
What do you mean? As in, like,
little rotating,
it's round, little rotating
knocking around.
Yeah, you don't want that. Your
it's quite
feet.
Easy to knock you
it's
off your balance,
hazard, isn't it? Yeah.
Exactly.
True.
You just stand on that and fall over like Cufal did.
Yeah,
you don't expect that of the winning team. You don't expect a team to, one of the professional footballers of a team to have stepped on the ball and fallen over, and that not be the most calamitous thing in the game by any stretch.
No, it was the second goal that was the most calamitous.
What I loved about the setup for the second goal was the first touch to knock it through the two defenders was one of those sublime touches where you do that and you carve a whole team open. Like, it was glorious. The second touch, you're like, oh, he's knocked out of it too far wide. And then, fortunately, the third touch was obviously to pass it into Schick, who just sort of stroked it into the back of the net, which was delightful. The first goal, though, was quite damning again, because to have that sort of free header, that, you know, quite close. I know it was a bit of a pinball sort of situation, but again, like, you're down to 10 men. Do something other than think, all right, we've just got to attack or something. You know, like, set up and go, right, okay, lads, this may go into extra time. We're going to have to be patient here. Mm. But I think that was the only thing. De Boer himself said, I wanted to go to a 3-3-3 after they were 1-0 down, and the second goal went and killed them. But I don't know. Like, there just seemed to be very little sort of, right, we're down to 10 men. Okay, let's keep the ball as much as we can. Let's play conservatively. And with a player like Frankie de Jong in the centre of the pitch, you have the option of having someone who can put his foot on the ball and just knock it, and sideways passes and backwards passes if needs be.
Yeah.
But there just seemed to be none of that.
Panic, really, wasn't it?
Completely.
They just seemed to panic, and it was a little bit, I suppose, unbecoming of such a great nation. Why, you know, well, you expect more.
But you do. And then, of course, towards the end of the game, all they're doing is just hitting hopeful passes up the pitch.
Surely you've got a plan going into a tournament for what happens if someone gets sent off.
Well, you must do.
You should do, shouldn't you?
And this is why I think De Boer's going to come under heavy criticism, because it looked like he didn't. Now, I'm sure he did. And again, we can all sit here and say all this stuff. It's quite, you know, it's easier said than done. And I understand the panic that sets in, da-di-da-di-da. But you have to be better.
How are you feeling, Pete?
I was so excited for the match. And now the England band have
we need to stop
me.
Dwelling on the England band. I totally
do you want a bit of this? Do you want this? Right.
God. What the hell's that?
I'm doing this on the fly. See, we've just heard, right, that the England band are going to be allowed into Wembley.
Yes.
So they can pop their muddy, eternal shit. Obviously, means you're going to lose the match. So with that in mind, if you've started drinking at midday, your wife has left you, and you're going to be a nasty little Englander who tries to flip a Volkswagen tonight, let's not burn that NHS with your back injuries. This is how to flip a Volkswagen. Take the Volkswagen EOS. Like most front drive cars, it's going to be 60% of the weight in the front. Not true if the roof is down, so get the roof down, and you're looking at an even balance then, so go for either end. The new Passat, you'd think that it'd be 60-40 in favour of the nose, but it's around 53 in front, which is fantastic, so you could probably manage to get you and your mate flip in the middle. You'd think that the electric models would be different as well. Maybe heavy in the back, maybe heavy in the front. Incorrect, though. If you encounter an e-Golf and you want to flip that, it may do 145 miles to the charge, but the front is 1,000 kilograms and the rear is 1,050 kilograms, so go for the front. If you don't know your model, though, give yourself a fighting chance by emptying the fuel tank first. Concentrate on the basics and lift with your legs. If you're going to be a cunt, don't be the cunt that takes nurses away from granny. This has been a public service announcement. When England lose, you absolute toilet bastards.
England aren't going to lose, Pete.
The England band did this.
They're going to win. We, as a nation, are going to win.
So it's all the England band's fault.
Fish, you need to get back here and bring positivity back to this
roof
podcast.
Down. Petrol cap off. Empty the petrol.
Right, you need to leave. I've had enough of this.
Fine,
not today, Pete. Not
it's the end of the show.
Not
do
today.
Your pitch. And
see
play.
It, empty it, flip it. That's the message there.
Oh, 4-3 to go, and here we fucking go, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. England's tried on, and we'll face Ukraine in Rome. It's Wednesday, 30th of June. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Vinicius Antaraja.
Easy, 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 easy.
Luke Moore, can I have a good in there?
Get in there!
Oh, it's always pleasing to keep a clean sheet, ladies and gentlemen.
A platform.
Start from the back and build.
Build, exactly. Oh. Build.
Build, pun intended.
Another outlet's probably covering this game.
Ladies and gentlemen, England beat Germany 2-0. As if you didn't know.
Yep.
As if you didn't ruddy well know. Come on. Come on.
This is great stuff.
We dicked him.
How's your aunt, by the way?
Oh, she's gone. She's not gone.
She's gone.
She's dead.
You see what I'm pleased about it?
Oh, dearie me. It's only the second round. We're in the quarterfinals.
Good job we're not among the players, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Fuck it. Find a late doors pub.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Rome, we only play at Wembley.
Yeah.
So you're going to forfeit the game. We got what we came for. Mm. My goodness. England beat Germany for the first time since 2016.
Yep.
Eric Dier got the winner, lest we forget.
Has anyone checked on Eric? He's having a lovely time, I expect.
Oh, I'd assume so.
The rest of us,
I hope he's off his rocker right now.
Yeah.
I'd be loving
just
it.
Just loving it, yeah.
But not loving it quite as much as if he was there, sadly, because that's the player's lot. But we did see Jesse Lingard enjoying it in the pub, didn't we?
Back
in the
Jay Link.
Did he have his little parrot? Oh, you mean back at that?
Yeah, that's what I haven't seen him since.
Yeah.
Him or the parrot. Yeah, the parrots are quite difficult to identify. They all look quite similar.
Sure.
First time in a knockout game since 1966. Have we waited a long time for this?
Well, we haven't
waited it.
We weren't alive for a lot of that.
No. Well, I was alive for all but 14 years of it.
Can I make a plea to all the mainly the BBC and ITV?
Yeah.
No more Euro 96.
It's done now.
Yeah, please.
It's done. Yeah. They should never show it again.
No.
We've had enough of it.
Yeah, we really
The younger
have.
People don't care, and the older people are sick of
but
it.
Do you know what? It was so funny how when people go, but I can't believe that, you know, Henderson, for example, didn't know what happened in 1990, or Saka didn't know what happened in 2000 or whatever, and all this. It's kind of, well, think of it, if we were players, and you were, I don't know, in a qualifying for a World Cup, and you go, are you a bit worried? Because... Yeah. Didn't qualify in 74 and 78.
Yeah.
Well, sorry, didn't we? All right.
People are confused about why those players don't care. Do you know what time is? It happens to all of us.
Yeah.
Obviously, as there always is after teams go out, and especially France, we say, especially with France, there's a bit of a post-mortem of suffering and pain and various family members tearing strips off each other.
You say that.
They
are basically the... I would say the oasis of tournaments drops. Like, basically, 2010 is their definitely maybe.
Yeah.
And that is taken as the definitive France.
Mm.
Whereas all the other tournaments where just nothing really happened, no one talks about that. You know, they still did Live Forever and Dixie's Dinner and all that sort of stuff. But the reality is, 2010 is a peak that can never be attained again.
This is their BDI. This is their kind of like... the mums shouting at each other in the park kind of thing. Is this kind of like, is it their BDI? Is this their kind of Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds? They've sort of broken off.
I mean, I think you're selling Veronique Rabiot a little bit short there, to be perfectly honest.
Good point. She's been doing that for a long time. Like, when he was at PSG, giving it the big licks about him being in the dungeon and stuff, and like being fed bread and stuff. She's been problematic for a long time.
So Rabiot's mum is his agent. So it's partly where this all stems from, isn't it? And the idea is that she kicked off at Paul Pogba's family.
No, it was Kylian Mbappe's dad.
Dad and mum.
But I think it was Paul Pogba's family. I think it was
Was a rumour that there was something between her and Paul Pogba's mates, but that's quite unsubstantiated.
Oh, is it?
Whereas they've poured over the footage on French telly, obviously.
Nothing else to talk about.
Yeah. There are only like 6 goals and a load of penalties. We just don't want to see them. That basically, she was shouting at Kylian Mbappe's dad to like get her son in order and et cetera. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's absolutely unbelievable.
You know, when like a mum or a dad is embarrassing, you go, "Mam." There's not a mam that's long enough. It would last for 3 days. Mam.
Well, it's mer, isn't it?
Yeah,
which
I guess
is also close to med.
Mama is mum.
Oh, what's mama then?
Mère is mother. I mean, I think that would be more like it, probably.
Because it's
suitable.
Close to med, isn't it?
Mother!
I'm trying to make a French pun, Brussels. Help me out here. I'm trying to make a pun in French. gosh. I thought, you of all people.
No, I think you'll find, by the terms of the contract, that's exclusive to OTC. Yeah. If you want to leave a voice note for us, fine, but not on here, Mason. I don't get to talk about Turkish football, which is a bloody good job because I'm always predicting they'll do well on here. So.
Yeah, you've stayed pretty quiet up to now. You've had pelters all week, haven't you?
You've gone full Keegan on me. I think, Luke, what the people really want to know is, when it comes down to Swiss goalkeepers, who do you think is better out of Jan Sommer and Roman Bürki? Because you've not really been decisive on this issue.
I haven't seen Bürki play for a while, to be fair.
I'd like you to sit on the fence. Tell the people what you think.
I've been on his back. I have been on his back in the past. I rate Sommer very highly. I can't believe he's not at a really, really big club, with respect to Mönchengladbach.
Yeah. But, you know what? He said that the Switzerland shootout against France should be turned into a film, and that Robert De Niro should play him in the film.
Great stuff.
What a guy!
I mean, he does realise that Robert De Niro's in his 70s. Right? So I mean, I'm not really sure how that's going to play.
Belgium-Italy is the other game tonight. Oh, can't wait for this one. 8 o'clock kickoff this. The big story in this is, of course, the fitness of Kevin De Bruyne and Eden Hazard. They have travelled with the Belgium squad for the game, but there was no sign of them in the warm-up on Thursday morning. Roberto Martinez insisted that it could be very close for both players to be available. I mean, what do? You don't risk them, surely, if they're not fit.
They can't.
They can't, can they?
They can't. And they already showed, I think, if you go back to the beginning of the tournament, which is remarkable, and a huge credit to Roberto Martinez, they can actually do okay without them.
Mm.
I don't see them going into this game without De Bruyne and Eden Hazard and being sunk. I think they could be fine still.
The good news is Jason Denier's back. The Denier.
Yeah, but he's not going to start, is
he? No, he won't.
He won't start.
No, because they're insistent on playing 95-year-old Thomas Vermaelen.
That's the matchup here that's key for me.
The defence.
You look at Chiesa, who's probably going to come in and start, right? Mm. Immobile and Insigne. So dynamic, so busy, so quick and
nuisances,
around over the place.
Aren't they?
And up against Vertonghen, Vermaelen and Alderweireld. To me, that looks like a bit of a flashpoint. I can't think of a more positive forward in this tournament than Chiesa. Everything he does is to almost impact.
He hasn't been starting him.
He hasn't, but the impact has been incredible.
Yeah, yeah.
And you talk about big players mentality-wise stepping up and wanting to make things happen. Everything Chiesa does, from what I've seen, is he thinks about being positive. Can I take on the defender? Can I do something good? I'm not going to turn inside and play an easy pass. I'm going to try and make it happen. And he's relentless with it.
Mm.
And if he does that from the start and he's matched up against who it'll be, if Chiesa starts on the right-hand side and it'll be Vertonghen, to me, I'll rate Vertonghen. It's a mismatch, though.
I don't think it's about the centre-backs. I think it's about the wing-backs.
So you have Hazard and Meunier.
Exploiting the pace behind them.
Yeah.
Exploiting the space behind them, because Meunier has had a really dreadful season for Dortmund. He has kind of recovered that a little bit of the Euros. But I do think defensively he can be got at. And Torgan Hazard, who's been great, is not a defender.
Yeah.
So I would expect Belgium to sit quite deep again. Don't miss it, folks.
I just think Italy are more coherent than Belgium.
Belgium-Italy, best 45 minutes of the tournament, hands down. Knocked old Magic Monday off its perch.
Hands up, more
I
like.
Think so, yeah.
Hands up. It was like they were kind of, they trying to rob me of my emotions at gunpoint. And I was like, hands up.
That's not you've how taken emotions
me.
Work.
You've taken my heart.
When you feel them, they're not taken from you.
No, they're like they're more never intensely more yours. In you. I
shot through
say.
The heart and you're too late. You give love a
bad name.
Yeah. That's where I'm going for that one.
Have you got them back again?
I've got them back again. I'm ready for the England match. Oh,
so did you hunt them? You hunted down the emotion thieves.
They did, yeah.
Got them back.
Yeah.
Some vigilante justice.
Would you say that
Liam Neeson in Taken?
Would you say that Italy or Belgium are the more thieving of the emotions?
I think Belgium, because they're clearly at a little bit of a turning point, a crossroads, if you will. Great Bon Jovi album, where they're it could go one way, could go the other. So yeah, I think Belgium have got my heart. And they're slowly posting bits of it back to me. With a ransom note. Proof of life.
Little chunks. Yeah.
Little chunks of my
little
heart.
Snipped up little chunks.
Bits of, is that, bit of is chopped that... up heart. That's not how I was expecting to start this
it's
show.
It's awful. It's awful.
Awful.
Awful posted by a Belgian.
Emotion awful.
It's emotion awful.
Then what mainly more about like, what was that thing Vish posted? Chips.
Fries,
is greater
fries and
than,
mayo. There's things in
than,
Belgium, aren't they?
I actually agree with that.
Although it turns out, pizza 2, fries 1.
Yes.
True.
That whole game felt like highlights, didn't it?
Yeah.
Like it was just
except the end.
Relentless. I enjoyed that. I mean,
You hate it when teams do it to you, but it's funny. I'm when they executed so
I'd like to think
so
that
well.
Team was so well drilled that they could do that for 90 minutes.
Yeah,
it was
yeah.
so good.
Yeah, that's
like,
wonderful.
I mean, we've not really seen it from
no.
them, and I don't think it was even necessary. But do you remember from the Colombia game when a team are doing that to you?
Yeah,
it feels like an affront to your sovereignty.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Easy. Wasn't it? Oh, wasn't it easy? What a joy.
I think that's the
it's
best.
Like having a football bath.
That's the first time we've meant that.
Andy, did you see us? Did you fucking see us, Andy Brazel?
You see, Marcus, as my first easy, that made me feel a bit tense because I didn't want to get the timing of it wrong. I felt a lot more tense during that than I felt at any stage
Andy
on Saturday
Brazel.
Night.
Gentlemen,
this is why we do this, isn't it? This is why we do this. This is why we love football.
Oh,
this is what you want.
Your voice suggests that you had a big one last night, Jim.
It's a little reedy. Yeah, let's just address that now. This is not the first time I've loudly expressed myself this weekend.
Oh, yes. Well, England, 4-0 winners against Ukraine. I mean, it was absolutely incredible. It's the second time England have scored four. In the knockouts of a major tournament, of course. We won't say when the last time was, because there's no need for that kind of crap.
It took more than 90 minutes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can they do it on a warm night in Rome? Oh, yes, they can, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, they bloody can. I mean, it's remarkable, this England side, the way we kind of go into it with our baggage and go, oh, a nice professional job. And they score early, Jim, and you go,
yeah.
Well, that's just the ticket, isn't it?
Absolutely. And again, it was control, wasn't it?
Yes.
They are the protagonists in every game so far in the tournament. It'd be interesting to see what happens when in the next game. We'll come onto it later, obviously. What happens if that is challenged? You know,
yeah.
If somebody else kind of takes the mantle a bit and sets the agenda in a way where you lose a little bit of that control. But, I mean, England are in a semi-final with the Euros without conceding a goal.
Mm.
It is genuinely astonishing stuff. It's everything you would want to happen. And you can plan for that. but that doesn't necessarily mean you can execute it. But I feel like, aside from the Scotland game, obviously, where England, I think, you know, underestimated mm-hmm. both Scotland as a team and the occasion as well. Mm-hmm. Everything else has been pitch perfect, this included. It's just been absolutely remarkable. And the way that Southgate has rotated the squad as well has kept it fresh.
Andy, your man Jadon Sancho involved? Perhaps we'll come to that in a moment.
Well, I said he'd have his moment at some point during this tournament. I'm not sure that's quite it. I think there's a little bit more to come. But you know what? I feel not only the incredible calmness of the game, the performance, because this wasn't just control, this was fun. Control.
Yes.
Wasn't it? Yeah. Two words that don't normally go together.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Organized, fun. Been,
yeah. Someone's got to arrange the stuff.
It was fresh as week.
They? Yeah. You do sound like a bit of a despot leader there. Come on, it's fun control, people. Okay.
But I have to say, having been talked through the bare facts by Nick Cave, I feel it is serious now. It's good.
But what, Andy, what did you make of it? Again, people, before the game, you're thinking to yourself, Ukraine are here on merit. I know they finished third. Was it third they finished?
Yeah, they did finish third. And
they lost a couple of games, but they went through. But they're a seeded side. They were impressed with the qualification. Da-da-da-da-da. And they've beaten a decent Sweden side as well, who have been quite good, obviously aided with the sending off, you could say. So it was, but England were favourites going into the game.
Absolutely. And I don't know. The doing down Ukraine half of it, I don't really want to do, because I think we should concentrate.
No, but I'm saying that they were a worthier opponent.
They were the worst third place side by some distance.
All right, fair enough.
In my opinion.
Okay, now you're doing them down.
Yeah, see, you've let me into it.
That's what happens, ladies and gentlemen.
You've let me into it.
I built them up so much that he had to do them down, and now he's going to eat his words.
Louis Theroux over there, tricking people into showing their cards.
Go on, Andy, say something else outrageous. Go on.
That's nice.
Very nice. Anyway,
have we got time to talk about Newcastle before we go?
I think we do. We mentioned Staveley earlier, Amanda Staveley. She's chipping off again, isn't she, Pete? She's unhappy.
Newcastle as a PLC are upset that the Premier League are being quite opaque about their findings. It's like Newcastle United every year, to be honest. But
well,
sick of seeing her.
Peter, strap yourself in.
Oh,
Hatim Ben Arfa. He's once again a free agent. Amazing he can't keep a job.
It's weird, isn't it? Yeah.
How's this made it in? You two.
No, don't with me.
You've got a Newcastle shirt on. You're that bloke and I think you should leave. We need to find out who did this. You've got a fucking Newcastle United shirt on.
The hot dog doesn't. It's nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
It's nothing to do with me.
Indirectly, it's everything to do with you.
Right.
Hatim Ben Arfa, he's free again this summer. His former interpreter at Newcastle has backed him for a return. I mean, come on.
Last work with him in 2013. He'll have the inside track on this. I've actually drank with that guy.
Have you?
In Newcastle.
And?
He is a Sunderland supporter. Hilariously.
Oh, hey.
So don't trust him.
Wicked whisper from Pete Donaldson. Nice. Andrew Simpson reckons that Ben Arfa's ongoing love for the club and his desire to prove Alan Pardew wrong could pave the way for a return.
That drives me, to be honest.
Pete, is this quote from the meeting you had with him?
After 14 years, Pete's actually got a contact in football.
Yeah.
After 14 years. It's not taking long.
And you've just blown your cover. Straight away. I know him!
He's a Sunderland fan. Yeah, after 14 years
right
and 14 pints, Pete was on the booze with this chap.
Tell us more about Andrew Simpson then.
I was only drinking with him in a group, so I didn't know him that well, but it was around about the time that he was interpreting for every.
You don't like drinking in groups, do you?
One of those group binges, eh?
Pete likes going and drinks with one other person or on his own.
Yeah,
true.
Yeah,
I like it.
He must be the intensity. To stick in your mind, he must be a very special young man.
The quote from Andrew Simpson, which may or may not have been from that evening, was, "One thing I learned with Hatem is never rule out the weirdest thing that could possibly happen. I would not be surprised if he did come back."
That's what he said when I left the night. When I did a French exit. Just fuck off.
Why is it every story that happens around Newcastle is just like...
It's just always hint. There's always a hint of nostalgia in there.
Yep.
It's always just absolute bollocks.
Yep.
And see, it never happens.
I love it. I absolutely love it.
He's only 34.
They're back in pre-season today.
But he's only 34, but he's looked after himself. So.
Yeah.
He's a man who's consistently came back.
Yeah, do you know who he reminds me of as a pro? James Milner.
I see what you mean. Absolutely. Yeah. It's that dedication that gets you to the top.
Yeah.
There we are. Could he get a late move to Liverpool and win the Champions League?
Well, he was laughing on the other side of his face when I was eating an absolutely enormous Danish in Canary Wharf yesterday.
I love a good Danish. We had some Danish in here, didn't we? Mm. As in pastries.
I mean, this was like a test. This was from a proper Danish bakery.
Was it?
And it was a test of endurance.
Wow.
It really was. Oh, it was excellent, but there was
jaw ache by the end?
There was a lot of it. Something like that, yeah.
What did you do for England?
What did I do for England?
As in, did you obviously,
I'm having bacon and eggs every day this
week.
Should it not be
but that's normal. That's normal.
Should it not be a cone full of chips with a raw fish?
I'm sorry, but Patrice Evra, what is he doing?
I mean, that's a dangerous question to ask yourself, isn't it?
I mean, that is...
It's frightening.
We talked about this earlier, and I'm glad you agreed that it's given me the fear. The fact that the slippery fish falls out is probably still...
Yeah,
no, I can't cope with that.
We should give some context for anyone that hasn't seen Patrice Evra's latest video.
It's Google him. It right now whilst you're listening to this.
Yes, it's him in the back of his car wearing an England shirt and a sort of like John Lennon glasses and a sort of a Lennon-y Oasis-y wig.
I'm not sure why.
Yeah, because it's English, I guess. And he's holding some chips, fish and chips, but the fish is a raw fish. And he's just shouting like he does, being his mad Patrice Evra self. And then he sort of bounces up and down. Does that.
Yes.
Jumps, gets out his car roof, the roof, and he's only got one shoe on.
That's right. I think that's quite an important thing to identify.
Okay, first of all, I was very, very put off by the fact that the fish falls out at one point. Because this is a natural raw fish.
And he kisses
Yeah, I'm not sure what breed of fish it is. I think it might be a sea bream.
Something like that.
Maybe a sea bass. But not the sort of fish you have in a fish and chip shop.
No, so absolutely not.
I think he went to Tesco, bought himself one of those vacuum-packed fishes, un-vacuum-packed it, stuck it in the cone of chips.
Kissed
it. And you know that it's got all of like the wet slime on a raw fish when you take it out of the pack.
Yeah.
How are you making this story more disgusting than it actually is?
By analysing it.
See, I think what's happened is he's gone to one of those posh fish and chip shops where you can, instead of buying battered fish, you can buy raw fish
that
they have directly from the supplier. So I reckon his partner has said to him, look, let's not just blow the budget. Let's actually give it some take-home value. If you can go and get a proper raw fish that we can gut and cook for tea later...
That's been on the car floor and kissed by you.
I don't think that was part of a plan. Well, he's been kissing raw chickens and all sorts, hasn't he?
Maybe he kisses everything
he
eats.
What's wrong with him?
You get the impression that like he was maybe in the car because it's just exhausting being his wife. And she's like, Patrice, can you just go and be in the car for a bit? Just get out of my sight. I can't handle this all the time.
There are so many disturbing
I love
things.
This wife. I know, but please.
Just out. Just go and kiss something else raw.
So yes, it is Italy that go through to the Euro 2020 final. Final score 1-1 on the night and then 4-2 on penalties. A couple of great goals though for the game before we got to the trauma and delight.
Yeah.
That is penalties. And of course, the equaliser for Alvaro Morata, which is a lovely team goal. And the man knows how to finish sometimes.
Yeah, he does. And that was, I don't know, could we call that a one-on-one situation? Because that's his least
Harder
favourite
than that,
situation.
Wasn't it, I think.
A one-on-one situation.
Yeah, he doesn't like that. Too much time to think.
But because he was involved in the construction of it, I think he was all right.
He did brilliantly.
I mean, that's his thing. I mean, Luis Enrique said afterwards he'd been bestial, which meant immense.
Yeah.
Oh
well,
God.
Good.
I know, it's quite an image, isn't it, you get from that word.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. But yeah, I guess the image from the night really in the end is more Jorginho stepping up with his little skip and then, you know, Simon just falling at his feet.
How do you stop that? As a goalkeeper, what do you do about Jorginho's...
Right. I thought you meant as in the rules of football.
How do we stop him doing it? Yeah, no, I'm not a narc.
You're a bit.
No, not at all. I think he waits for the goalkeeper, doesn't he, Jorginho? So if the goalkeeper doesn't move, will he just not kick it? Can you trick him that way? Hmm. It's a game of chicken, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's the way he effectively just ended up on one knee.
Yeah.
Like, even more, that's almost like more prostrate than a man who'd actually been prostrated at his feet.
Yeah. Because I guess you, as the goalkeeper, you've got to make him think you're going one way and then go the other way. But I imagine that when he's also doing that, it's a very difficult game of chicken.
such is the inherent complexity of penalties.
Indeed.
I think you really cut to the heart of the matter there, Pete.
Thank you.
Pete.
Wow.
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 Yeah, this is a nightmare for Spain, isn't it? Because this was their hoodoo. This was their losing to Germany on penalties, like compared to our own national hoodoos. And they'd overcome it, and it's come back again to haunt them. And it is just, it's heartbreaking for them because they were so good. They were better than Italy. And I didn't expect to be saying that.
I would say probably first half Italy better, second half Spain better, extra time Spain better.
Yeah, I reckon so. I think Italy were happier to play for penalties, weren't they? They looked more tired.
They didn't have much left in the tank, I think. Yeah, I think they were happy to defend. It is quite good to know that this Italy team can just defend.
Do you think the
as well as be front foot?
Do you think the intensity of them being on the front foot is why that is? Because, I mean, that was Spain's third set of extra time and they looked fresher. So I wonder if the idea of having extra time in your legs isn't actually as damaging as people think.
Yeah, I'm not convinced it is, especially when you can use the squad, although obviously Spain took two less than they actually had to, which is one of those things that looks weirder and weirder over time. But this Spain are so incredibly unpredictable. Like, we talked about it yesterday, and that performance, it couldn't have been more different from the performance against Switzerland in the quarterfinal. You know,
so much more assured, wasn't it?
Like, I mean, to call Spain Jekyll and Hyde, I don't think does them justice. It's a whole series of faces. Mm. It's amazing, really. And Spain have got a lot to take from this tournament. I thought they were great, and I didn't expect them to get anywhere near this far.
No, I didn't either. Especially based on the group stage, really, the whole group stage. No. They won that last game against Slovakia 5-0, but Slovakia were absolutely awful and gifted them a lot.
Do you know what, actually? But being in Wembley, like, I mean, it was mad. The pre-match on the sort of the concourse, is it? You know, where you buy your hot dogs all around there.
Yeah,
it was like that. It's just like, yeah, it's like the end of the last days of Rome in there. Like, it was mad. Like, it was glorious madness. Like, there was such a good feeling. Everyone just going crazy. It was, honestly, I've never seen anything like that before. And in the stadium before the game, and I did think to myself, come on, lads, let's sing these songs after a victory here, please, because if we go home tonight losing, it'd be bad.
No, but you know what? It goes back to what Jim was saying yesterday about enjoying the moment.
And I think
I think that's really, really important.
Yeah, especially with the year, or more than a year, that everybody's had, of course, and it's not just this country. But
I mean, that has been the best thing about the Euros.
Yeah, but I wonder, though, Andy, with this semi-final, because, you know, the players... Southgate and the FA, or, you know, everyone involved, do try and keep the players in that bubble away from the media, away from what everybody's saying. But nowadays, it's extremely difficult. And of course, you're aware of the narratives. Yes, they may not be aware of certain results that happened in 1990 or certain moments that happened in the 1982 or whatever it may be. Mm. But they're aware that England have got to one final in their history. And everyone knows this kind of stuff. And I think that there was a bit of pressure coming back from Rome and everybody there. I think, yes, the crowd can help you, but there is that huge expectation of, we can't let this lot down.
And there's a significant step up as well in the fact that Denmark were everything that Ukraine weren't.
Exactly.
In the last round as well. So they're maybe not the biggest name opponent, maybe not a Germany or an Italy.
Yes.
But I think that's what England have been great at the whole way through. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they did that quite well against Germany. Mm-hmm. You know, the fact that, you know, English football, or England football, has a massive psychological block against Germany. Maybe not anymore. But I felt that that was very much the fans and the media's thing, not the players' thing.
Absolutely.
The players did manage to play the game rather than the occasion.
Yeah, because if you look at the results against Germany, I mean, like I say, for me, the whole sort of German thing, the big release was in 2001 when we beat them 5-1 in the qualifier.
And then not 2000 in Shawa.
Oh, that was a good one as well.
That was two bold men fighting over a comb, but it was still enjoyable.
Yeah, but we got the comb.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, comb, Germany?
Yeah, exactly. We'll give the comb to whom we please. And if we want to keep it in case we sprout hair, then we've got it.
Yeah, and if we'd have beaten Romania as well, we'd have got the thickening shampoo as well.
That would be great. But of course, you know, without going on about Germany, but I think, yes, the media and some of the fans obviously were trying to put that on the players, and I think the players are a bit like, whatever. Whereas actually this semi-final, I think the players, they knew it. And it was a huge hurdle. There was ever so slight concern that you don't want the celebrations to be too much, because you know, again, if you're Italy and you're thinking, brilliant, extra time, that's, you know, a little bit of tiredness in the legs, that's what you want. But if you're Mancini, he would probably say, and I said this, that what Ukraine would say after the Germany game, but obviously totally different thing. But Mancini would go, look, that was their final, that he could say. Look at the celebration.
Hang on. The way the Italians celebrated on Tuesday night was the same as England.
Right, okay.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
Celebrate getting to a final,
especially
after everything they've been through. You know, you can talk about Italy's illustrious history. They didn't qualify for the last World Cup.
Yeah.
For them, it has been a steep climb as well. And it has been similar in a way because they've done that thing of winning back public affection.
They're iconic. They're already iconic. I mean, because Gareth Southgate, I mean, him as a leader is really a shining example of what can be achieved if you think, you know, if you take a step back, if you take a measured approach to things, you don't panic about the immediacy. It's an antidote for the British people are bored of experts. Do you know what I mean? It is an absolute, like, it's a rebuttal of that nonsense that we've seen in society. And the team are a sort of conscious emblem of the positive things that need to be amplified in our society in a divided time.
Well, the thing is, it's not even political. Like, the idea that you should have respect for people and try and find common ground, I don't think is political.
But you know,
that seems to be Gareth Southgate's. No, you're right, and it shouldn't be. I ask you though, Jim, is Gareth Southgate as big a hero as Boris Johnson? That is my question.
Yeah, and before you answer that, Jim, let me give a bit of context there, which I think my friend and colleague Mr. Brassel is talking about.
Let's hope so.
La Gazzetta dello Sport have suggested that England have been allowed to keep the final because of Boris Johnson's opposition to the European Super League. I think it was even worded maybe that Boris Johnson was kind of like the saviour of European football. Yes, I mean, they've misunderstood the situation.
That's fair to say.
La Gazzetta dello Sport, yeah. But we'll crack on anyway. But they said,
so the hero who slayed the Super League.
Yeah, hero who slayed the Super League. It's incredible, isn't it? It is absolutely incredible.
Well,
seemingly, he can just wander through life doing anything.
I mean, it is amazing how you read this. You read this Gazzetta editorial, and the bit where they say that, you know, England have basically been given a penalty as a favour.
Yeah.
It's not even the most offensive part of the article.
I mean, obviously there was talk that he knew about the Super League plans before it all went public as well, wasn't it? So they either weren't aware of that, or have, you know, glossed over it, shall we say?
Shall we say, Jim? Yeah. So that's the situation. So Andy, what was your question again to Jim? If England win the Euros, do we need to thank Boris Johnson?
It's been very difficult for the government to take any credit here, hasn't it?
They've had a go, though.
Apparently, I read something saying that they were put out by Gareth Southgate's statement before the tournament, the open letter that he put out, because obviously it was all talk of unity and the values that the team bring, and it made it very, very difficult for them to keep their kind of, you know, stance of being anti taking the knee and things like that, and also claim any sort of association with England. So it's very, very, very good from Southgate to position England in a way where they stand for themselves and, you know, for their own political integrity.
Yeah. By the way, we should just sort of say that there is a petition to rename London Sterlingrad if England win the Euros.
So seize the means of production.
So if everybody can get behind that, that would be absolutely great.
Been a beautiful time.
It has very much been a beautiful time. I think we'll remember this tournament, whatever happens on Sunday night, for sure. Zach Smith's also been in touch. Hello to you, Zach. He says, I'd just like the Ramble to know that I managed to crash my motorbike this morning.
Shit.
While listening to Wednesday's Football Ramble, just as Kate admitted to not having her lucky England shirt. Is this her fault? Because it certainly seems like it.
Oh, Zach, I'm so sorry. I hope you're all right, by the way.
He's emailed in.
Yeah, okay. Still with us. Definitely got both of his hands.
They've got Wi-Fi at the hospital.
Well, he's definitely got one of his hands.
Yeah. Oh, my God, Zach, I'm really sorry. What I should say is that I wore both. Because this was from, I was trying to decide whether to wear, because I bought this England away shirt, and then I had my lucky shirt.
Yeah.
Lucky shirt that's also an England shirt?
Yes, correct.
Right. Oh,
you wore both on the train and you were really hot, right?
Yeah, I wore both. Okay. Well, I felt like, you know, it's a small sacrifice to make for Southgate's England.
Oh, definitely made a difference. For sure.
We're in the final.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Don't look at me like I'm being sarcastic.
Yeah, it's great.
Aggregated marginal gains. Everything counts. You put an extra shirt on, a breeze goes through London, turns into a hurricane.
Yeah. And then Sterling falls over.
Yeah, we get a pen.
Genius.
We get a pen.
Sorry, so involved.
Was fouled. Fall over, was fouled.
Yeah, don't
What are you doing, man?
Is this guy?
Yeah. Don't show any weakness.
I'm playing both sides.
If they see a chink in the armour, the whole thing will go down. Yeah.
Italian stooge.
Yeah.
Email us show@footballramble.com.
We didn't make it easy for them. We pushed them all the way.
Yeah. Difficult.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. So there's that feeling again, because Italy, of course, beat England on penalties after a 1-1 draw, in case you didn't know.
Yeah.
In case we're... you shouldn't use us as breaking news. We haven't said that many times over the years.
Imagine flicking the football around on this morning and going, I wonder what... Listen.
I love their output so much, yeah. I want them to tell me
on
what
that
happened.
Note, welcome to the Premier League preview show.
Dawn, did you know the game was yesterday?
I think it's
would it be only a couple of weeks until the magnificent Gorgie boys are back on?
only you would know that. Listen, if you don't know, then we don't know.
The thing that's upset me the most about England's loss to Italy last night is the fact that we no longer have a 100% record in finals.
Yes.
England's 55-year wait for a major trophy goes on. It will be at least 56 years.
And a half.
Yeah. Of course, which is why I say you've got to go in on the UEFA Nations League.
that's why Marcus is such an international football mentality monster, because only a couple of minutes in, he's going, right, next tournament.
Yeah, next
move
one.
Move on to the next thing.
Next one.
You're like a little England pig and you've got your nose looking for truffles.
I was going to call you the international football Tiger Woods, but I don't know.
An England international football pig.
International football fan Tiger Woods.
That's fine. Whatever it is. I mean, Italy, they won their second Euros. Of course, it's their sixth major trophy. And what a story they have. But we'll come on to them in a short while, of course. I mean, it was quite something. I was at the match, seeing England in a final, all the pomp and ceremony before the game. And I remember thinking, I've never seen this before, an England game.
Yeah.
You normally do it yourself, don't you?
It's a big blow-up trophy thing there.
It's weird because, like, opening ceremonies are quite frustrating at the best of times.
Yeah.
And, you know, you watch a final as a neutral, and there is that pleasure in that as an England fan, so you know that those are two of the best teams. But then with your team in it, you're like, fucking hell, what the hell is this?
Yeah. Yeah.
Get that little car off there. Yeah. I even turned against the car. Beautiful little gay car.
I was like, oh, come on, get on with it.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
It is, because it is tense. I mean, you know, I use a lot of nervous energy throughout the day.
Yeah.
I went for like a 7-mile walk in the morning. And it just, the day just dragged. And then when you get all that stuff before, and obviously I'm very grateful that I was able to watch it in the final, but all that stuff seems to have gone for quite a long time.
Oh, it did, yeah.
And you're kind of thinking, who is this really for, other than the kind of dignitaries that are up in that executive box or whatever?
I know
everyone else just wants to play the fucking game.
I feel like we should have had, like, Spain sat next to us in some way, almost like telling us how to use the cutlery. Is that right? You start from the outside
edge. Yeah.
That's the soup spoon.
Yeah.
It's like, right, okay.
Yeah. And then you'll be disappointed because dessert is a penalty loss. I know what you mean. The Italy first team to win two penalty shootouts in the same European Championship. And people, a friend of mine said, well, if it goes to penalties, you know, no team of... Yes, but they have at World Cups.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you can isolate the European Championships, but actually you should extrapolate that out to international tournaments.
You were right to point it out like a week or so ago. Like, it's such a cherry-picked stat. It's unbelievable. Yeah.
They've got Donnarumma in goal. The man is a wall, okay?
Yeah.
But there we are. But England, the game began, of course, and England played a 3-4-3. And I, you know, Southgate surprised me with the 3-4-3. I'm generally not a fan of it. And I thought to myself, okay, he's obviously worried about Italy. They are the best side that England will have faced, of course, at this tournament. And you know, Italy have been the best side at this championship. You can't really argue too much with that, I don't think. I mean, obviously, Spain will have felt they maybe should have done more in the semi-final. But over 7 games, if you have to scrape and battle your way through and you get through, you have to give kudos there. But England start with the 3-4-3. What did you make of that? Did you sort of think, it's a little bit conservative? No, I understand.
I mean, after 2 minutes, I was broadly in favour of it. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
Welcome to a tea.
Yeah.
So, just a bit, having been able to think about this overnight, one of the things that I kind of ascertained from the 4-3-3 was that, the 3-4-3 was that it was done, as Luke pointed out on the Saturday show, to basically just cluster them in the middle as best as possible. But I think in the, without going down the stereotypical route of saying we scored too early, I think they were surprised at how early they scored and therefore found themselves in this weird bind where they were trying to do something to Italy that Italy weren't even doing because England controlled those 20 minutes so well. And I think they, I'd love to, I'd have to watch it back. But part of me felt in the moment that I think they seem in a little bit of a halfway house here, because I feel like they could have created a little bit more when they had the ball, but they were stuck in their positions. And because Italy was so, I suppose, shell-shocked at the beginning, that there was nothing to counter. That 3-4-3 works really well, as it did for the goal, when people are pressing, people are pushing onto you, and then you have basically three different outlets, you know, through the middle or out wide.
Well, we saw Germany do that to Portugal.
Yeah.
When the ball's coming in, man at the back post, bang, which is exactly what the first goal was.
Yeah, so... And then, because
we've heard the word overload a lot in this tournament, haven't we?
We have
control overload
and transitions and whatever.
Yeah.
And so because of that, I mean, I wouldn't know how he would have done it per se, but I wondered if we could have had an in-game tweak even then. Think actually, we're all over these. 10 minutes, let's go 4-3-3. 5 minutes, let's go 4-3-3. Let's see what we can pick off from them. But again, I'm just wise after the event. I think it showed how Southgate was a bit late to react in the second half. Well, I mean, he didn't react in the second half, in my opinion, and it just made the whole thing seem a little bit more clustered.
Yeah, I mean, it's tricky, Luke, isn't it? I don't go in for the whole "you've scored too early." That's a very English thing to say. I think you get a goal, you get the goal kind of thing. But it was always going to be difficult to shut Italy out for sort of 88 minutes or whatever it would be. Get to half time and then maybe rethink. How did you see it play out?
Well, I think people say, "Oh, you score too early." It needs to be contextualised, and the context of this is that England scored when they scored, and it meant that they didn't kind of, for me, they didn't feel like they executed their plan. I think you would have got a better chance of England executing their plan, because it's the plan they've used throughout the tournament, if it had been 0-0 after 60 minutes, because they didn't know whether to come or go after they scored. And I think what we saw was, I've been in support of Southgate, as I think we all have more broadly, but hopefully you'll forgive me for saying this, throughout the tournament I've said, look, he knows what he wants to do and this is what he's going to do. It didn't mean it was going to work, didn't mean they were going to win, but and I think actually whatever happened against Italy last night, Italy were the better team. But what he's done so far is he's got it to wherever he's got it, 60-odd minutes in, and he's brought subs on to try and try and kind of affect the game, because they've got a deep bench and because they can present different challenges to other teams' defences. Now, of course, sometimes you don't need to do that. Against Ukraine, didn't need to do that. But against Denmark, it worked fairly well. They're in control of the game, and it worked well against Germany. I don't like the 3-4-3 either. I mean, people will say, I'll roll their eyes and go, yeah, well, you can say that the day after a game. We did a nine-part England show, leading up to tournament, turn everyone we didn't like 3-4-3 every fucking week. So, I felt like it gives them an overload in the middle. You're relying on players like Mount and Kane to drop in. I understand that if you match them with the 4-3-3, it feels like they played 3-4-3 against Germany because they matched them because they thought they were better. They're not better than Italy. And what this comes down to, I think, is if you're not better than the team you're playing against, you've got to think of a way of solving that puzzle. And I don't know if England have shown that they can solve that kind of puzzle throughout this tournament, and thus it came to pass.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news.
Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.